We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. A thrill sitting in for Mark. If you don't know who I am, I'm on Sunday nights here in 97.1 FM Talk. Just saying, if you miss my show, shame on you. Bring a note next time. I'm on 7 to 9 every Sunday night talking about, whatever the best stories of the week, the most interesting stories of the week, interviews, all kinds of good stuff. So if you can't get enough of me, and I can not blame you, check it out on Sunday nights. Hans von Spakovsky's here. I'm thrilled to speak with him. I've been following him for years. Senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. I just saw snow plows going by my house because we've been inundated with snow in the Washington, D.C. area.
How about that global warming? You know, 2 weeks ago they were complaining, and I'm not making light of, you know, what happened in Colorado, and I'm not making light of what happened with those hundreds of people who lost their homes. I can't imagine. But I got on Twitter, and I saw a lot of people talking about climate change. Meanwhile, there was 18 feet of snow in Tahoe, and now you're getting buried. The South's getting buried. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I laugh every time something happens in the weather and folks try to blame it on climate change because, you know, the weather's been changeable like that for a very, very long time.
Absolutely. Now, last week, of course, everybody watched Biden's speech. I don't know about you, and I know you've written about this. We'll talk about your most recent column on this. But when I watched that speech, of course, it was a mess. I was hearing Obama. You know Biden didn't write it, but it sounded like Obama speaking to me, didn't it to you?
It did, and it was one of the angriest, frankly, most deceitful speeches I've ever heard a president give. There was almost no true statement in the entire thing. And, you know, the thrust of his speech and that of Kamala Harris was that if you believe in something as basic as showing an ID to vote, which the vast majority of American people support of all races and political persuasions, why, you're the same as Bull Connor. You're a member of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, I thought it was bizarre. It was really a bizarre speech. And by the way, if that's true, well, then why is the Biden administration and other governments requiring you to show a government-issued photo ID when you want to go get a vaccination?
Oh, for heaven's sake, I had to buy some cold medicine. I had to show an ID.
Yeah,
there was some kind of a cough medicine, and it wasn't even a prescription. So, yeah, it's a joke. We know it's a joke. It was interesting. This morning I saw, I believe it was in The Hill, that the Democrats think they can actually make some hay out of this. In other words, even if the voting rights bill doesn't pass, that then they're going to be able to use this somehow to generate votes. But back to your point, Hans, most people, both sides of the aisle, most people only want folks who are legitimately able to be able to vote.
No, that's right. And, I don't like her very much, but I think, for example, Stacey Abrams, finally realized this when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have not. Because remember, when Georgia passed its election reform bill, you know, one of the things they did was they extended their ID requirement to absentee ballots, which is a smart move. And as a result of that reform bill, Major League Baseball, as you know, pulled its All-Star game from Atlanta. There was such a backlash against Stacey Abrams, who'd been attacking the state, attacking the reform, that she suddenly backed off and said, oh, no, wait a minute, I've never been against voter ID, because she saw the polling. And the polling right. was that, for example, African-American voters think voter ID, we ought to have that. So she actually saw the writing on the wall. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have it.
That's true. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. You know what else is interesting is that a lot of minority folks who normally the Democrats take for granted, and we've got your vote, you're a certain color, that's it, we've got your vote. They're starting right. to wake up, and they're starting to understand that Democratic policies have left them, especially people in low-income neighborhoods, which of course are all colors, but the low-income people all throughout the races are the most hurt by the Democratic policies. And so they don't want people going in to vote for Democrats who will continue to take away their rights, take away their freedoms, take away their ability to protect themselves, defund the cops. They're looking at this because they're the ones who are hurt the most, not these folks in Washington, D.C. who live behind walls and have security. They're not going to suffer from these policies.
No, no, they're not. And the inflation, who is that going to hurt? It's not going to hurt those same rich people, those rich elitists who support Joe Biden. It hurts people down at the blue collar and low income level. And they know every time they go to the gas station to fill up their car so they can get to their jobs, they know what the Biden administration is doing to them economically.
Absolutely. And, you know, people can disagree. I mean, I voted for Trump twice, obviously, but not obviously, but I did. But people can disagree on some of his policies and his tweets and his this and his that. But bottom line, Trump made America safer because he made us energy independent. That if he had done nothing
that is
else,
right.
that talk about how that affects everything for us.
Yeah, no, it's really true. And it's just amazing to me that Democrats are against that. That they've done everything they can to restrict the production of oil. It's like they don't want us to be independent. And as you know, as a result, the price of gas, has it almost doubled since Donald Trump was in office?
Right. It's terrible. And to your point, the people who are low income are the ones who can afford, if they can even afford a car, they certainly can't afford the gas. And right. Certainly. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. You've got to call him out talking about the today talking about the voter bill. Let's talk a little bit more about what's in it. You're talking about degrading the accuracy of voter registration lists by severely restricting the ability of states to verify the eligibility and qualifications of voters and removing ineligible voters. Now, in a lot of states, there is, you know, the voter ID when they go to the DMV, right? They go to register their car. And in a lot of states, I don't know how many, you can go in there and check a box that you want to register to vote, even if you're not legally in the country. In other words, you get the the driver authorization card. And so it's up to the secretaries of state in these other, in a lot of these states to verify these lists. That's what you're talking about. Some of those things, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or, as I have said before, you know, one of the ways states get an indication of evidence they need to investigate that maybe somebody should be taken off the list is when people don't vote for many, many years. And that right. leads them, they don't automatically drop people. That makes them start investigating and see, well, has the person died or they moved out of state? This bill they're trying to push through the Senate would say that election officials can never use that as a reason for looking into whether somebody should be dropped. So if you don't, Heidi, if you don't vote for the next 50 years, they would still never be able to take you off the voter rolls.
It's incredible. One of my friends, her mom voted. Her mom's been dead for 2 years. Her mom voted in the last election, and she knows that for a fact. And so those are the kind of things that have gone on. It's just, you know, we all want fair elections. We all want the people who should vote to be able to vote. Nobody's trying to stop them from being able to vote. But for heaven's sake, you can't rent a car. You can't do anything without a driver's license or even some kind of ID, even if you don't drive. And almost every state that I'm aware of allows you to get that for free, correct?
That's exactly right. But see, the problem, Heidi, is that the Democrats, the sponsors of this bill, they want people voting who shouldn't be voting, like
correct.
Aliens. So that's why there's this huge fight over this.
Yeah, they want same day, just, you know, show up and vote. And, you know, it's just insanity what's happened. Because, you know, a lot of people are very disgusted by the 2020 election, very discouraged by what happened. They believe, and I do, that Trump actually won it. I know they love to call it the big lie on the left, right? It makes them crazy. But, you know, a lot of people feel as if there were a lot of shenanigans. We don't know how far it went. We all saw the videos Project Veritas had of people with carloads of ballots and all those kinds of things. You know, what could go wrong? But my concern is that people will just say, the heck with it, talking about the conservatives, will say, the heck with it, why should I bother voting? The fix is in. I don't want people to do that this next year.
No, they shouldn't. And people should keep in mind that even though Trump was officially declared the loser, keep in mind that Republicans actually gained seats in the House of Representatives. You know, the exact opposite of what everybody was predicting. They were predicting that Republicans might lose up to, I think, a dozen seats, and the exact opposite happened. Folks need to get out and vote, but more importantly, what they ought to do before this coming federal election is get involved at the local level to make sure your county election board is doing the things they ought to be doing to clean up voter lists, et cetera, and get your state legislator, talk to them and say, look, there are all kinds of reforms you guys need to pass to fix things in our state.
Right. That makes so much sense. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox, of course. And Hans von Spakovsky is at the Heritage Foundation. You know, it's a good point that you make, Hans, because there were a lot of people who suddenly got upset after the election. And I was saying to them on my show and you know, on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, where were you? Where were you getting involved with the precincts and all these other things that needed to be done before Election Day? You weren't involved like you should have been, and all of a sudden you're upset about things that were happening. Maybe a lot of people weren't paying attention. Now maybe they are, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, what needs to happen, for example, at county electoral board, most counties have an electoral board made up of citizen appointees. They're the ones that run elections. You know, what needs to happen at those meetings, the same thing that's been happening at school board meetings across the country.
Uh-huh.
Parents have finally started showing up, and they're asking questions about, for example, the CRT propaganda being taught to their kids. Same thing needs to happen to those public meetings where the county election boards meet, which I tell you, because I've been on two, the public would never show up at those meetings. People need to start showing up and asking basic questions like, hey, Do you compare our county registration list to DMV records to find people who have moved away, or people who, when they went and got their license, did it as a non-citizen? Yeah, and just basic questions like that, because if they're not doing it, they need to be replaced.
Right. And it's not that hard to fix. You could put those fixes in the various databases and the various states very easily if there was the will to do it in that. But all of that is controlled at the legislative level, because a lot of times secretaries of state, I know in Nevada, the secretary of state wasn't given the money that she needed to do various things. And legislatively, there were things she could not do. Not excusing what happened in Nevada, but that was a big factor. The Democrat legislature put all this in for everybody to get ballots mailed to their house because of COVID. And then, of course, they codify that into law, as you know. And that's happened around the country. So, you know, they don't care who votes as long as they vote their way, or a lot of extra ballots are floating around. And it's incredibly frustrating, just incredibly frustrating that this continues to go on.
It is. But on the other hand, folks should not get too pessimistic for two reasons. One, so far, Republicans have successfully filibustered and stopped these terrible bills that Chuck Schumer wants to push through Congress that would imperil honest elections for the foreseeable future because they have so many bad provisions. And second, look, a lot of states last year in their legislative sessions actually improved things. You know, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, Iowa, and a number of other states passed election reforms that actually did good things. In fact, remember, that's what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were complaining about, that 19 states had passed laws restricting the ability to vote. No, they didn't restrict the ability to vote. What they did is pass good reforms to improve things.
Absolutely right. It makes perfect sense. What do you think? We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. What do you think about Hillary Clinton rearing her big head up again? Remember the movie Carrie when the arm came out of the grave at the very end?
Yes.
That's what I picture Hillary Clinton. I mean, she won't go away. She's like leftover food. You go in the fridge, you pull a foil off, you go, oh my gosh, her again. Ah, it's like a horror movie. I mean, do you really think there's any credence to this discussion of having Hillary and Trump face off again?
God, I sure hope not. I was hoping that she finally would sail into retirement and we wouldn't have to face her again. But she is. Look, she is endlessly ambitious. So if she thinks that she can win, I have no doubt that she'll get into the race again.
And I can't believe that the Democrats have nobody better to offer than this warmed over food. I mean, honestly, how old is Hillary going to be? 75, something like that, which doesn't make you dead. I'm not saying that. But what they both sides need to do is get somebody in there who could potentially be in office for 8 years. Right.
Right. No, that's right. And it would be nice for somebody a little younger to finally run for president. But who else are they going to get?
You know, I'd feel a lot better if Tulsi Gabbard were vice president than Kamala Harris. Nobody likes her. She's a nutcase. Biden, you know, can't even figure out why he walked into the kitchen. Of course, that's all of us, right? You know, who's running the country? Who do you think, Hans, is running the country?
The folks that are in the White House and the folks that have been put into political positions all are political activists from the radical left-wing advocacy organizations that have been operating in Washington for a long, long time. A typical example of that is Kristen Clark. She's the woman running the Civil Rights Division. And she used to be with, I think it's the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. And she's probably the most radical individual to ever hold that position inside the Justice Department, which is why Merrick Garland, in just a year, has politicized the Justice Department to a greater extent than Eric Holder did. And I didn't think anybody could possibly do that.
Wow. See, these are the names that your average person doesn't know, and these people have
right.
huge impacts on us. And when a president gets elected, a lot of people who were the Never Trumpers, well, you know, we don't like him. He's not this. He's not that. Even Republicans who were like that. You know, my comment to them was, listen, there are thousands of people who are appointed under a president who make a difference in our daily lives. Even if you don't like the guy at the top, there are a lot of other people who make a big difference.
Yeah. And let me tell you something that is making a difference that's going to end up killing people. And that is, remember, the FDA has approved giving COVID treatment based on race. And states have already started putting that in. New York has, Utah, Minnesota. That is an outright violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. To ration health care based on race is a violation of federal law, and yet not only has the administration approved this, but the Civil Rights Division, headed by the woman I just mentioned, Kristen Clark, who should be out there suing states for doing that, is doing nothing about it and says this is just fine. That will end up, that kind of racial discrimination will end up actually killing people.
That's amazing. And now, is Kristen Clark black? Do we know? Well, you would know.
Oh, yeah, she is. She,
okay,
when she was a student at Harvard,
yeah.
She published a letter in the Harvard Crimson newspaper saying that black Americans were physically and mentally superior to other races. Now, Can you imagine someone white saying something like that, getting approved, confirmed by the United States Senate?
But here's the irony with something like that. As radical as she is, to your point, I bet she's all about Planned Parenthood, which, as you know, was designed for the purpose of killing black unborn children.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's true. And remember, she's the person pushing the lawsuits against states like Georgia and Texas over their election reform bills, because she's exactly this kind of person that supports these really bad bills that Chuck Schumer is trying to push through.
Wow, it's so amazing. It's on the one hand, they're pushing, you know, something on race. On the other hand, they have no problem with how many black children are killed through abortion. It's pretty stunning to me. Well, I am glad that you got people like Joe Manchin at least putting a little bit of a doorstop in the plans that the Biden administration has. At least, I mean, can you imagine the pressure on this guy? Can you imagine?
No, I can't. Not just the public, but the behind the scenes.
Right.
Mean pressure. Look, I've been dealing with liberal advocacy groups for a long time in Washington. They are the meanest groups you can imagine. And when they don't like you, they don't just try to destroy you professionally. They try to destroy you personally, too. That's mm-hmm. the way they operate.
Absolutely right. I wonder if things would be different if Harry Reid were still in the Senate, that nasty, horrible creature. I wonder if he would be able to put the pressure on Joe Manchin, because he was, you know, you talk about treachery. You look it up on Google and you see a picture of Harry Reid.
Yeah, I think he actually was much more skilled. And I don't say that in a complimentary way than
right.
Chuck Schumer.
Right. It was absolutely treacherous. And that's something that we don't have right now. So thank God for Manchin. We've still got people who are treacherous, but not to the level I don't think that Harry Reid was. But, you know, I don't know. I think that, do you think they're going to get shellacked in the midterms? What do you think, Hans?
That's certainly all the polling. Sure, that's certainly what it looks like. Presidents, you know, historically, presidents lose in the first congressional election after they go into office. And given how rock bottom his approval ratings are, and the fact that we have the highest inflation in 40 years, people are angry about the vaccination requirements and everything else going on. I think there's a strong possibility Republicans will take over both houses of Congress.
Yeah, I think if Joe Biden's family cared about him at all, they'd take him off the public stage, but they won't. They'll just let him sit there and get embarrassed. And the Democrats are probably trying to keep him there because Kamala scares them, too.
That could be.
I mean, well, at least something we can.
She certainly scares her staff, which she can't keep.
Exactly. I mean, they're running for the doors like rats off a sinking ship. They can't stand her. That's one thing we can all agree on. She could unify America because both sides hate her. It's fascinating. Hans von Spakovsky, what a thrill to talk to you. I have followed you for years, and I'm thrilled to be sitting in for Mark Cox and get a chance to talk to you today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And thanks for being a beacon of common sense in a crazy, crazy world. By the way, the latest column, where did I find this column this morning? I was looking on. Where's your latest column, Hans? Where people can find it?
It was at Fox News.
Okay, that's where I saw it. Okay, because I know you write columns for all kinds of places. But okay, great. Well, people check that out. Hans von Spakovsky, thanks for being here. So appreciate it.
Sure, take care.
Thank you, too. I'm Heidi Harris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm all about the music in the morning. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. In case you don't know who I am, I have a show on Sunday nights here on 97.1 FM Talk. I hope you're listening. And if you're not, shame on you. Bring a note next time. Thrilled to be sitting in for Mark. Justin Simmons is here. Now, we're going to talk this morning about this rapid COVID test. All of a sudden, all these governors, Biden, everybody's talking about all these tests they've ordered, right? They're supposed to be, I don't know what they're supposed to do. More people who are healthy test themselves. I don't even know what it's all about, but apparently some of these tests are not that accurate with Omicron. And Justin Simmons is the CEO and founder of My Labs Direct, and he's here to shed some light on that. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Heidi. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I had two COVID tests. It is not fun to jam that thing up your nose, I can tell you. Do these rapid tests work the same way, the home tests that they're touting?
Well, I mean, they work obviously differently than a PCR test. I guess the question is now the level of accuracy that we're getting from these. I think pertinent to understand that rapid tests, in order for those to be more accurate, the patient's going to want to have a higher viral load or be more infectious. Then we're probably going to see better rate of accuracy. So it's all a function of timing and the progression of the disease and how it's developing in the body. So that's important for consumers to know. If you're asymptomatic or you're not exhibiting symptoms, the likelihood of getting even a false negative is pretty high. We're starting to find, and there's confirmed studies to support that.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to ask you to back up and explain to people who do not know the difference between these new tests, the PCR tests, and the mm-hmm. rapid COVID test. Talk about that. Explain it to us like we failed biology 101, okay?
Okay, so PCR test, this is it's the gold standard test, and this isn't a new technology by any means. We utilize this to detect, viral RNA, viral DNA, things of that nature. So what we're doing there is really looking at the molecular virus or the, viral components molecularly. It's a longer, more involved process that from end to end in a laboratory setting on instruments that basically what we're doing is drilling down and looking at three different targets of a viral protein or viral makeup of the SARS virus, whereas a rapid test, or what otherwise is referred to as a lateral flow test, kind of like a pregnancy test, we coat a Wattman paper with antibodies, and we put the specimen or sample on this device, cartridge or strip. You guys have seen a number of different applications, and what it's really trying to do is detect the surface proteins or proteins of the virus. So more of a detection of the protein itself, where we're not really drilling into the molecular side. It probably wasn't the best explanation, but certainly has its place where we're just trying to detect if there's the presence of the protein versus, again, PCR, where we're really drilling into the RNA of the virus.
Now, I we're speaking with Justin Simmons, and he is really interesting. He's the CEO and founder of My Labs Direct. When it comes to these tests, you mentioned the viral load. When I got COVID, which I got pretty quickly on when the whole thing started almost 3 years ago, in 2020, mm-hmm. I got it, 2 years ago. And my husband, I was told by people I got the viral load. I was really sick. I wasn't hospitalized, but I was really miserable. And he barely got a little bit of a tickle in his nose. All right. So that's what you're talking about. You talk about the viral load, right? Versus somebody who doesn't quite have that viral load, who maybe could take a test and it could be negative depending on what their symptoms are, right?
Yeah. So the viral load is really how much of the virus is in your body at the point in time you test. So that's really a function of the progression of the virus. So in the early stages, your viral load is lower. And as you go through the progression of the virus and or the infection, that viral load starts to increase. And okay. So a term that we use on the lab side is LOD or limit of detection. So the limit of detection is much higher on a rapid test, meaning you have to have a higher viral load, meaning you have to be more infectious for those to detect a positive. A PCR test, because we're looking at the virus itself and the molecular structure of the virus, we can detect that virus is present in the body before you start to exhibit symptoms even. One of the disadvantages that we found in that first phase of COVID, where people wanted to go back to work and get back to life, is we're still detecting a positive on PCR because it's so, so sensitive, nearly 1,000 times more sensitive than a rapid test. That doesn't mean, though, if you're positive in the latter stages of the infection, that you're still shedding virus or infecting others. So we've done a number of studies to say, hey, in general, 21 days after infection, I'm probably at a point where, yes, I may detect positive on this highly sensitive PCR test, but that doesn't mean that I'm shedding virus and infecting other people.
Interesting. Well, we're speaking with Justin Simmons, and it's a pretty fascinating conversation. He's CEO and founder of My Labs Direct. When I had COVID, after the initial couple of weeks when I was flat on my back, I coughed for probably another month. And I had people tell me, medical professionals say, oh, it's just inflammation and you're not infectious. But I still didn't want to go out in public. I mean, you can't even clear your throat anymore without getting a dirty look in the grocery store. I wasn't about to put people at risk. I felt nervous about that.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the tricky part with the antibody test is if we take those too soon and we determine that we're, negative, we're hearing a lot of cases of that, in fact, where People feel like they maybe got symptoms, so they start taking these tests and they're getting a negative. Even anecdotally, I've had a number of people tell me they've taken multiple tests because they couldn't find a PCR lab that could result them in a timely manner. And so they're anecdotally, again, taking up to 6 tests, still getting negative, and then all of a sudden they test positive. And again, it's really a result of the sensitivity of those rapid tests. Meanwhile, that person may be running around with a false sense of security, thinking, well, I'm not infected. This rapid test didn't detect me as positive, when in fact you are. It's just a staging in time where the virus hasn't yet really started to exhibit symptoms. And then, of course, we know the cases of asymptomatic folks anyway. So you like your husband, maybe has it, doesn't exhibit symptoms to the degree you do. That's all a function of, you genetically over him. That those are studies still that we're trying to understand more about.
Right. Interesting. We're speaking with Justin Simmons, CEO and founder of MyLabs Direct. I'm Heidi Harris, of course, in for Mark Cox today. You know, what's interesting when you're talking about these rapid tests, there are people who take a rapid test to get on a plane, people who take a rapid test to go to a wedding, people who take rapid tests for all kinds of things. And what you're saying basically is we have no idea if these are accurate in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the guidance would suggest that it should be supplemented or complemented with a PCR test. Again, excuse me, if we're highly contagious or we have a high viral load, and typically that's coupled with symptoms, you can be pretty sure that if you test with these, that you're going to get, a positive there. Again, you may be in early stages of infection, be infectious to others, and not being detected positive at that point in time when you took the rapid. So that is a concern for sure.
I heard a story the other day about a woman who got on a plane, had a little bit of fever or something, went into the bathroom of the airport. I'm sure you heard the story, took a rapid test and came back positive. It spent the next 4 hours in the airplane bathroom, basically isolating herself. Now, I'm telling you right now, I would not do that.
Yeah, there's a certain level of...
Right. I mean, you're in a bathroom. Right. If you can't get Ebola in that bathroom, I don't know where you can get it in an airplane bathroom. Right. So that was. But back to your point, we don't know if the test, because the people who were with her husband and her son didn't come out positive. So how weird is that? She potentially might not have even been positive. We don't even know. I mean, because she took the rapid test.
That's right. They have their place, and there's. They're good for us to have. They're good for us to detect ourselves before we go and circulate among other people. But it isn't the end all be all. And I don't think the guidance basically states as such. I think it's the best option available. I think that if you can find it, a PCR test, to my mind, is the most effective. The problem we're seeing there is some of these labs across the country just having difficulty turning around results in a timely manner. And that's really, again, as a result of the high volume and also a lab-based PCR test is, again, an involved process where it's hands-on. It can take up to, 2 to 3 hours to run a plate of specimens. So that's the unfortunate disadvantage. And with Omicron, we're seeing such a high level of volume and demand for testing that it all rolls downhill. I think complementing the two together is a good alternative, a good option. But to use just the rapid antigen by itself, you have to factor in a lot of different elements.
Yeah, and it sounds to me as if you're somebody who's taking that test because you're afraid you're going to infect somebody who could really die, you've got elderly relatives, there's some kind of critical situation, then you've got to get a better test than the rapid test to really know whether or not you've got it. That's what you're telling me.
You do. Yeah. And I think, again, that would just be your RT or your PCR testing. And that's, again, finding and or locating a laboratory, you're going to your physician to ask, can you refer me to a PCR test. My Labs Direct, we're based in Dallas. We do a lot of, we're a lab, so we do high capacity, high volume PCR testing. We have a lab in partnership at Baylor University where we can run upwards of 8,000 of these a day. But if it's still our capacity is being strained by the number of people wanting to be tested. So right. When people come to us, we say, hey, if they order a rapid antigen and they're not symptomatic, the likelihood is that they're probably going to detect negative But if they're adamant, they're like, no, I was with someone, my husband or my sibling, anyone in my life is positive. I encourage the PCR test just because I think there's certainly a greater level of accuracy.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, it does.
So Justin good to Simmons, know, though, that you...
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's good to know. It's a good idea to take both if you're really worried about causing problems with somebody. Absolutely. I think that's a big deal because it is life and death for some people, not the majority, but for some people, it is a problem if they get COVID and they're not going to make it through. So you got to be careful. Justin Simmons, CEO and founder of My Labs Direct. Thank you for the information. And I'm encouraged by it because I think a lot of people are getting these home tests and maybe not even taking them correctly and not even sure, you know, what the result's going to be. If it's going to be accurate, that's a big deal. They need to know the truth.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Heidi. Have a good one.
You too. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. Harrison for Mark Cox. Good morning. How are you doing? Funny story in the Wall Street Journal about how repair people and handymen are virtually impossible to get right now. The Wall Street Journal says repair people are like the hottest kids in high school. Remember them? They were attractive. They had godlike skills of pretty much everything. The whole school envied them. And they were utterly unattainable. I mean, I'm laughing about this because my husband owns a handyman business and he is in constant demand, I can tell you that. So this columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Chris Frieswick, talks about how to get somebody like that, how to get on their radar, okay? She has some tips for this. First of all, enter the friend zone. Where does your required service provider like to toss back a couple of brews? You know, maybe one afternoon you just happen to be there when they show up. You start a casual conversation, buy them a beer, you know. I'm skipping through. This is fun. Commit bribery. I love this one. Are you in a position to provide anything of value to the repair person in question that will get you on their radar? Like you got some Blues tickets or something, right? Maybe that'll help. Does their child attend the same school as your child? Think play dates. This is so great. Here's another one. My husband has this happen to him all the time. A friend of a friend of a friend will recommend it. This is great. Ask a friend who's already using this person's services to make an introduction, but not an introduction like, hey, my friend Jim needs you to fix his toilet. Make it less like the Fonz and more like Cyrano. My dear, kind friend Jim has been having such terrible luck finding a good plumber, and he's been through all the usual suspects. He's very discerning. I've told him all about you and how fabulous you are. Are you interested? Another tip the Wall Street Journal mentions if you're trying to get a good repair, but they are worth their weight in gold. I know that's why my husband's always swamped. And it's all word of mouth. He does no advertising at all. All word of mouth. He'll take care of one person. And he does people like cops and fighter pilots and all kinds of people who don't trust anybody in their houses. And they trust him. Here's another suggestion. Shower them with cash. Promise to give the repair person what they really want, cash on delivery. That's so true. That's so true. Because if you're not going to pay them right away, they'll find somebody else and they just won't be back to see you. That's what will happen. They have plenty of other people. And there's another idea. If you do advertise on Facebook, put a glowing review on their Facebook page. Not a bad idea, except we haven't had to do that with his business, but it's never a bad idea. Offer to be a reference. Brag about how great they are to all your friends who will be super jealous. Call them 2 days after your appointment and tell them you can't stop thinking about them or the terrific job they did on your drain.
We're going into a different kind of territory now, I feel like.
I'm sure we are, Jake. I'm sure we are. That is hilarious. And then, of course, don't be afraid to break up with them if they don't really, do the job. But, you know, these people, they're in such demand because everybody needs little stuff. Forget about knocking walls down. Everybody needs little stuff done. A ceiling fan hung, you know, whatever it might be. Your tall ceiling smoke detectors, batteries changed, all these. And you don't know who to call. You don't know who to trust in your house because, and I was single for a lot of years. Anytime somebody's in your house, it's a security breach, right? So you've got to be very, very careful about who you have in your house. And if you get somebody good, yeah, you've got to get on the list. That's funny. That's one of those jobs, though, that is always, you know, you're always going to eat if you can fix things. Because nowadays, so many people can't fix things. I know cars are more complicated, you know, the newer cars to fix, and you may not have the right equipment. But there are a lot of people, a lot of men I know cannot hang a ceiling fan. They don't even know how.
I can't do
or
it.
Or fix it. No, or fix a garbage disposal that's broken, or, you know, and I've got fighter pilot friends who can, you know, they can strafe your house, but they can't fix the garbage disposal. And they'll admit that. My husband's done a lot of work for those guys. So it's not a good or bad thing. But, you know, the fact is, one of my old producers, his father told him when he was a little kid, he would drag him out of bed on Saturday. And he said, listen, you need to know how to do this, because if you don't, you're going to pay somebody else a lot of money to do it your entire life. So you've got to learn how to do this stuff. So his dad taught him well. All right, coming up, much more on the Mark Cox Show. Of course, I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Cox. Jessie Jane Duff joins us next hour. So excited to talk with her. And Tom Ackerman, KMOX Sports Director, will be here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Heidi Harris. See you on the flip side.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.